Welcome to the Double Deuce Podcast, an amazing show that lasts only 22 minutes and is for you, the listener, so soak it up. So here are your two big beer hosts, Will Averill and Nelson. Hey, Will, hit the timer.
And we're in.
Double Deuce.
The Deuce is wild and happy to see you today. We can't see you. That's not a power we have.
No.
I feel a little disingenuous even saying it, but I don't want to start over because we've committed.
Well, they're here. They're hearing us. We feel your presence. We feel your love.
That's right. Hey, we're looking for a sponsor again. So if you want us to do you like we did Magic Mind and Applebee's and Frank's Northstar Tavern, you know, and mm-hmm. Amber Fraley and so many others.
Yeah. Get
we made
with
them
this.
Famous. Amber Fraley is a household name now because of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, we just live showed, which was amazing. But we've got another one coming up in a couple months, so get ready for that. We will.
Yeah, you know, it was a really interesting live show. I think having a blood stain on the wall like adds an immediacy to your live show.
It was good. Yeah. It was a long one. That might be our longest yet.
I know. That time kind of flew. It really flew by.
We had so many guests, multiple children. Well, or young adults. I don't know the term.
Yeah, we're reaching a whole new generation. But then again, we're almost 10 years old, buddy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad, you know, we have some history with local politics, and I'm glad to be getting in on the ground floor with some younger politicians with Sean's daughter, now a class representative. We'll sow the seeds of her eventual city commission seat now. We'll cash those checks.
Only
later.
Marginally terrified that child might be the Antichrist, but not in the not in a slanderous definition, but in the actual technical definition of
so an omen situation, you're suggesting?
Kind of. I mean, did you see how easy power came to her? I mean,
it's true.
She wore power and power by terror like a glove. And
it's true, but we haven't seen her exercise it in bad ways yet. So if
not
still yet. Jury's still out.
Maybe I feel like it's one of those situations where there's a redemption arc, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be fine. I really shouldn't call listeners' children potentially the Antichrist.
I would refrain.
Yeah, let's just pretend this last couple of minutes didn't happen. Can we do that? Can we do that with the power of the recording technology?
Yeah.
Sweet.
We have that power, if nothing else.
Can I make a dorky confession to you, Nelson?
Yes.
Okay, so my new jam is eating edibles at night, like sleepy time edibles. I've gone to Kansas City a few times and gotten specifically give me the edibles that put you to sleep, right? And then I'm like, well, what am I gotta listen to something while I sleep? So for a long time, it was lo-fi versions of Skyrim songs, which, you know, that's dorky enough, right? But we're gonna get past that. That's not the height of where this dorky goes. Then
that's our entryway in.
That's our
gateway dorkiness.
Gateway to dorkiness. But what I'm doing now, Nelson, is I am taking edibles and I am listening on headphones to a series of guided sleep meditations on YouTube by a guy named Stevie Joe. They vacillate between astral projection or find your spirit animal or lucid dreaming or meet your future you. And all of these are just fascinating to me. But the problem is with the drugs, I usually I fall asleep after about the first 5 minutes and
you haven't gotten any of the benefits. You haven't met your future self or your spirit animal or any of that.
Yeah, mostly I just get Stevie Joe, who is a real chipper black dude, who's just hey, you're listening to Stevie Joe, guided meditations. Hey, these meditations have power. Don't use them while you're driving. And I get a little farther than that.
Does he say anything about not being super high?
He does not say anything about not being super
high.
Well,
that's on him then, frankly.
Yeah. That is on him. But anyway, so if you're looking for like something to do, take some edibles and listen to old Stevie Joe on YouTube.
There's dorkier. You know, the dorkiest thing I've seen lately is an ad for HSN where there's like middle-aged-ish. I want to say she's at least in her mid-30s, if not into her 40s, woman doing a rap. And it has all the hallmarks of, you know, when white people started rapping in commercials in like the late 80s. But not only just doing rapping, but like also using like, you know, not new slang, but in that like last 5 to 10 year slang. And it, in a weird way, it's like, who's this for? Who are you trying to get by using the kids slang with this weird rap for HSN? Is it the kids? Are you trying to get the kids to watch HSN? If so, why is this a commercial on television? None of them are watching that. Who is this for?
I like to think that maybe finally one of the executives, like the one that's been nervous for like over 35 years now, is like, today's the day I'm going to make my splash. And he goes into the pitch meeting and he's like, guys, you know what will get the kids? A rap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that, it's taking him this long to think to have the courage to say it's a great idea. And they're all like, it's a great idea. It's a great idea.
Well, it doesn't play.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's pretty cringy. It's pretty bad.
You know, I have a lot of time for Home Shopping Network. I'm sad to hear that they've lost their way. You know,
it feels like, I mean, I don't know. They're talking about the app. Maybe the kids are on that, but again, I don't see how they're going to see this app. I don't know who's going to think this app is cool of any generation, frankly.
So my friend Mel, who I think we tried to get on the podcast at one point, but we haven't gotten on the podcast yet.
Didn't we get?
Oh yeah, no, we got Mel on the podcast. That's right. Yeah. Did we talk about the Walmart movie? Did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
So apparently, like, here's the new
Walmart
style.
The movie.
Like, she's out there, sort of. She's out there in L.A. doing, like, the writing, and her husband is out there in L.A., and he's doing, like, the editing. And apparently, like, the new thing that is going to happen is that he got done editing a movie for Walmart where basically you watch
the movie. Is it, like, career opportunities where, like, stuff happens in a Walmart, but it's not really about the Walmart? Or is it about the Walmart?
It's even worse. It's like a romance movie, but scenes keep getting set in a Walmart. Like, she goes back. She's a high-powered executive who has to go back to her small country town. And at the small country town, it's like, should she marry the Walmart guy that she knew from high school? Or should she marry the rich lawyer that's been cheating on her? That kind of thing. But they keep having conversations in Walmart, or they're wearing Walmart clothes, or they're eating Walmart food. And all of those items are tagged, so you can watch the movie, and if there's an item in there, a dress or something that you like, you can click on it, and then it'll take you to where Walmart has that item.
So it's like scenes from a mall, but without a sexual predator, but it sounds more like it's like scenes from a mall, but with late-stage capitalism.
It is absolutely late-stage capitalism.
The greatest villain of all.
Yeah, yeah. So you
more
could watch
and more,
it
and
as
more
a,
and more things. Like, I do appreciate that we finally, with that Fallout show, it's been revealed that the real villain in Fallout, it was late-stage capitalism.
Right.
It's always been a little bit fuzzy as to who the real bad guys are, but they're like, oh, no, it's that. It's that.
Yeah. Yep. They just came out and said it. And man, they made it look so easy. I was like, this is what every like movie made out of a video game should be like, right? They just kind of nailed it.
Well, and yeah, it's like it sure gets extreme, but at the same time, it makes complete sense how they go about doing it. It's like, oh yeah, that adds up. If all your money is in that, well, then you got to make that happen. I'm speaking very vaguely just because I don't want to spoil any surprises in case anyone hasn't watched it yet. It's good as hell, and you should watch it.
It is good as hell. You know what else I just watched that was very bizarre but very interesting was a little thing on Netflix called Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
It's a Scottish comedian, but it's not a comedy. Oh boy, it's not a comedy. But talking about like how he moved to London to become a stand-up comedian and works in a pub and ends up meeting this lady who comes into the pub and he kind of feels sorry for her, so he buys her a cup of tea. And like, here you go. And then she starts talking to him, and it starts off this whole chain of events that leads to her like becoming his stalker, and a whole bunch of other real messed up stuff happens.
What does it have to do with reindeer?
That's what you got to watch it. Or
that's the surprise. Okay,
that's the surprise. That's the surprise. It's like reindeer is the late stage capitalism of that show.
Okay. Is it like a body horror situation, or never mind? Don't give it away.
I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. But it's not a body horror situation. I gave it away.
Well, I guess that's fair to give away that it's not, just so no one goes in hoping.
Yeah, true. But yeah, that was pretty good. I would recommend it. It's a hard watch. It's a little bit painful, and you probably should like go into it, you know, eyes wide open, but it's good.
Right on. I want people to watch Warrior on Netflix, because I want Netflix to make at least one, like a final season of it, so they can wrap it all up. Because
which one is that?
That's the one. It was on Max, the HBO Max, those things, and it's like a kung fu western. It's like late 1870s, early 1880s, San Francisco, where it's based on like a bunch of the like stuff that Bruce Lee was working on, like trying to develop stuff, some like writing stuff he did. But it's just Chinatown, like this martial arts prodigy like comes over from China to try to find his sister who left a while ago because shit was fucked up with their family and some other stuff had happened. He's going to like bring her home, but she doesn't want to come home. She's involved in one of the tongs. He gets kind of press ganged into one of the tongs, and it's during kind of like a period of war between the tongs, and there's these like Irish working class like storylines. There's a bunch of like cops who get stuck working the Chinatown beat, including like this old kind of more grizzled cop who has gambling problems and drinking problems, and then his new partner who's like this fancy detective trying to use like CSI stuff, who's comes from Georgia, and it's like not that long after the Civil War, so no one really trusts him because they were all fighting for the Union. It's real good, and there's a lot of real good family-based stuff, like kind of found family versus real family, and then it's real well done, and I enjoy the hell out of it. And the third season wrapped up, and they kind of bought the rights to Scream it, and there's that little bit of like, maybe if it does well, we'll make some of it, and I'm hoping it does well and they make some of it. Because while they made something seem like wrapped up and this would be a nice place to end, there was some other stuff less so that it was kind of more cliffhangery, or at least like a what do you do now with this? So
well, there you go.
I'm interested, and not to the point where you're like, oh shit, that really didn't put an ending on anything beyond like the, you know, things change but things stay the same, I suppose. I don't know. We watch it. It's real good. It's real fun.
So speaking of watching things, this weekend I went to see a show in Kansas City that my dad was in. It was a musical production of Rocky, the musical.
Are they covering just the first Rocky, or do they go deeper?
It just covers the first Rocky, but it leaves him a lot of room for musical sequels.
Okay, so he might be. Who did your dad play? Was he Mickey?
He was Mickey. Yeah. He was Mickey, and he did a real good job. He did a real good job. And Drew Starlin, one of my old colleagues from fellow high school student at Lawrence High School, played Rocky, and did a real nice job. The guy's got a beautiful voice. It's a very strange musical because, like, you know, Rocky, you saw the movie, right? You don't really have a whole lot of music in the movie.
No.
So they're like, what do we write about? And so it's a lot of songs about, boy, it sure sucks to be poor in Philadelphia.
It's interesting, too, because I feel like Rocky is such a, in ways, a surface kind of a character. Like, he aspires for more, but at the same time, I feel like he doesn't seem like a character who has a lot of, like, rich internal monologues. It would be interesting to see him breaking into song to, like, display an internal monologue that is maybe less apparent in, say, the movie.
Yeah, and it was interesting because you know, it's hard, I think, because the politics and the relationships in that movie are very much of like that 70s time period, and like the, you know, the relationship of Adrienne and her brother and Paulie and all that, like, it's some of that Streetcar Named Desire, like, you know, the tough guys beating up ladies, sort of rough and tumble blue collar aesthetic that just doesn't play real well right now. And so it kind of, like, singing about it doesn't really help.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels like it maybe makes it worse even sometimes, depending on the context of the songs or the lyrics or what's going
on. That being,
did they get someone good to play Apollo? Does Apollo have some good, like, big numbers?
I don't know the name of the actor who played him, but he was a lot of fun. But again, it was another thing where it's like,
feels like that's where Apollo, you can really, like, make the big numbers, is focused more on Apollo.
And he has a really good number, but again, they lean real heavily into the funk. And so it's just like, oh, okay. It teeters on the brink of blaxploitation in a way that is, but it manages to the guy was selling it so well that, you know, I didn't think about it too much, only occasionally.
That's fair. It's interesting, too, because he's so Stars and Stripes America. I feel like that's maybe a way to go a little bit more with it.
And they definitely played up that
maybe
angle.
Maybe you can put a little bit of a funk angle on that, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I will say his number
producer. I don't. For all the work we did in Victor with it, we were just having laughs.
Right. But it was interesting because they did like the training montage. You know,
there's a bunch of montages in that movie. How do you do a montage in live action? I guess it's an interesting question. And did they even attempt it?
They did. They went out and filmed at a bunch of locations in Kansas City. Like, there was one hilarious shot.
Oh, did they have like video montages?
Yeah, they had like, it was all screen projection. And on the back at one point, there's like a long running shot of him running past the Nelson Atkins. And you can see like the shuttlecock there.
Did they find some high stairs for him to run up?
The Nelson Atkins, man, highest stairs in Kansas City, I guess. But which was both pretty funny, but also like kind of didn't really help with the verisimilitude of 1974, because, you know, once you do that, like, there's no going back. You're definitely like in a post shuttlecock Kansas City, which dates you later than the 70s.
Yeah, that's wild.
It was interesting. But you know what else was trippy was it's actually in a movie theater that they've taken one of the film theaters and converted it to a fairly deep stage proscenium. So,
you know, that was always something I thought would have been a thing to do with the old six, as opposed to remodeling it to make it a gym and then basically folding within a year, because it was a weird thing to do and probably extremely expensive to start. That I was like, I would like make a couple of these and like make one larger stage and then like maybe one smaller and then try to, I don't know, do something else.
It was pretty rad though. You had all the amenities of a movie theater with like comfy seats with drink holders and a selection of drinks and popcorn and all that. And in a theater, which, you know, I've been to a lot of Kansas City theaters that were a lot less comfortable. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
amen.
Liked it. So anyway, there was one more show today, and now it's over. So you all aren't going to get to see it. Sorry, you're too late.
You get to see Rocky II, the musical.
There you go. I want the Rocky with the robot, and I think the robot should have a song, and it should be about like I'm becoming aware, and then at the end,
but it already sings the song. But then I feel like it should sing the Happy Birthday Polly song, and then like Spotlight, like Dark Everywhere Else, where it sings like a slow like soulful ballad.
Listeners, what
we're ways away, isn't that Rocky IV with the where the robot shows up? I think
I feel like it's Rocky IV. Yeah.
I'm pretty
I feel
sure.
I feel like the 80s movies that got to four was always the like we're out of the reasonable ideas, so let's just fucking push the boat out.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go wild. Because that's like Star Trek IV is all like whales and contemporary San Francisco.
It's a hell of a Star Trek. It's a lot of fun.
It is a hell of a Star Trek.
I feel like it really sets the bar for it's always fun when they travel back in time. It's like when Doctor Who all of a sudden shows up in modern day London.
Yeah. Them's good times.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, what movies would you like to see in musicals in a movie theater in Kansas City? Let us know. Hashtag musical my movie.
They don't even have to be from the 70s, but they could be.
No, you could pick a movie from any time period, and we could figure out how to make that into a musical for you. We're just that good, or at least we could find somebody who could.
Maybe Dog Day Afternoon or Serpico,
yeah.
Or Chinatown.
Hey, we're running out of time, but before we close, I saw our friend Mark Hennessy, friend of the podcast, Mark Hennessy.
How's Mark
this
Hennessy
weekend
doing?
He's doing all right. He's had some bad health.
I know
he was
having health troubles that were more dire, and then were maybe looking up.
Yeah, but he was doing a Final Friday gig with Godzillionaire, his band, and it was fun. But he asked me to read the Wasteland. Yeah, it was good.
Probably since
it was
before the pandemic, to be completely honest.
Well, there you go. Now you probably have some more opportunities because I think they're digging again.
Nice. It's good to know.
Yeah, and I read my T.S. Eliot reinvention, the KU Wasteland piece. Nice. I read the first two parts of that.
Right on.
Yeah, it played pretty well. I was happy. I was happy. Good. I was a little concerned because it's kind of like, it's a real niche market, isn't it? Like people who like T.S. Eliot enough to know that poem, and then people who know Lawrence well enough to know that poem, or to like the local.
Or especially
references.
Even if you know about it, like how much do you know about it beyond its existence? Because it's like one of the seminal works, but at the same time, it's longer and more complicated than a lot of the stuff that people are more familiar with.
It's dense as fuck. It really is. And
it is a long
that's
poem.
What the thing I love about it. I love it.
And is well, and some of his stuff can be a little bit difficult to parse in general, but as deep as that one goes, it can be more work.
Yeah. But luckily I've annotated my version based on his annotations and then my own annotations.
That's handy.
Yeah. It's about, yeah. It was funny. I ran into a guy who was like, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm reading this. He's like, Eliot's The Wasteland. A lot of it's in Greek. You got Greek in it? And I'm like, well, I got some Greeks in it, like frat boys, Greeks. Ha ha ha. He's like, it's like, you got annotations? I'm like, yes, sir. And I pulled out my 5 pages of annotations and I handed it to him. He's like, yeah. I'm like, do you want to read them? He's like, no. I'm like, all right, cool, man. Thanks for stopping by. But he seemed to enjoy it in the end.
That's good. I don't know that I've got a sports corner, but I am sports cornering in that I'm watching the Capitals play right now because they like kind of squeaked in the playoffs, but they did it strong on like a streak of wins. But they have been that because they barely got in, they are, you know, playing the best team in the East and they have been struggling a bit. They're down, you know, 0-3 in the series, so they have to win tonight if they want to play another game. And I'm hoping just to force the gentleman sweep, you know, the 4-1 gentleman sweep where you don't just let them walk right over you. It's tied 2-2 with about a minute left in the second, so we'll see.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, hey. I think we're running out of time, but good luck to your Capitals. We'll find out next week.
By the time this comes out, we'll know what happened, but you know
we'll have the answers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we won't tell
they're
you.
They're in that weird, like, they kind of need to reload a little bit, but their older guys are still good. It's just they're in that, like, they're still good, but they could probably use some new blood, but they, right, they're not quite ready to reload completely yet, especially with Ovechkin, yeah, like, looking for the record on goals here in the next couple years is holding back some of the reload, and we'll see what happens. They're still good enough to make it to the playoffs most of the time.
There you go.
And maybe look at crazy. How many times were they the best team in the league and lost in the second round of the playoffs? Maybe they can make an improbable run here with an old team in the next couple years. We'll see.
You know, I bet if they're putting their headphones on at night and taking their edibles and listening to Stevie Joe, meeting mm-hmm. their future selves and astral projecting and finding their spirit guides, they are living their best lives and they will win. That's all they have to do.
Probably, yeah. I think I believe in it. You know, I want to throw out a little to you, like, Royals playing pretty well.
Yeah, that's true.
Royals
that's
really
true.
Playing pretty well this year. I don't know if they're, like, trying to get that new stadium together, and that's why they're really trying to dig deep, or if we're just finally far enough into the rebuild that we're starting to stack a little talent before they either put something together or ship off all that talent again if things hold to what the history has been of the team.
True.
But they've been winning.
That's true.
And they're worth watching again, I feel like. And yeah. As opposed to the last couple of years where it was a real tough watch. Although I tried to watch them yesterday and they, like, were up, I think, 3-1 and subsequently lost 3-6. And I was like, uh-oh, maybe
oh, man.
A problem. They were winning a
Jeez,
lot before
Schrodinger, I tried watching Schrodinger's them. Royals, right? Maybe they're only good when you're not watching.
That's I'm willing to sit back, you know, for at least a while, let them get, you know, get their feet under them. But sooner or later, I'm gonna, you know, want to watch them again. I don't want to be responsible.
You never do. You never have. You never will.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Responsibilities for chumps.
Exactly. Suckers. It's a mugs game responsibility.
Remember that, kids.
Double deuce. Leave that responsibility at the curb and come listen to Double Deuce.
This has been Double Deuce Podcast. If you thought the intro sounded bad, this outro sounds even worse.
Thanks for listening. I don't know how you did, but if you're trying to listen to more, we're everywhere. Libsyn, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, fucking everywhere.
That's right. Wherever fine podcasts are made, we'll be there. Also, you can reach out to us on social medias. We're at Double Deuce Pod on Twitter. We're at Double Deuce Podcast on Facebook. And our email is doubledeucepod@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to support us, get our Patreon on. Patreon.com/DoubleDeucePod.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff on there. We got me talking about things I'm seeing. We got extra minis, like the minis you find in the deck of deuces. We got Will singing. Or if you want to pay for him not to sing, there is a way to pay for no singing. The world's your oyster. All kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
So much stuff.
That's Patreon.com/DoubleDeucePod. Yeah!
Yeah! Sorry, when you're like, wherever fine podcasts are found, I just kept thinking about that Tom Jones speech at the end of Grape's Wrath. It's like, whatever, there's a cop beating on a fine podcast. We'll be there. Double deuce.
Good episode.